to Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praised.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome back to the second half of today's edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows. I thank you so much for listening. We both do. We thank you so much for your phone call. So if you're not yet on the line to join us in the discussion about being beyond mental illness, we invite you to join us now. 855-454-5905. In studio, we have our special guest, Steve Fantini, who is a licensed therapist who is joining us for this discussion. Let's get right back to the phones. We have Lauren calling in from Delaware. Lauren, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning, Lauren.
Well, thank you so much for calling in. And I heard from you mentioning to our producer you want to share a little bit about your life.
Yes, I do. I don't want to forget anything, so I just want to make sure that I say this first. First of all, I could thank God for your program. I would call in a whole lot more, but I try to not dominate, but I've had a lot of experiences. So I just wanted to praise God first for your program.
Amen.
And the next thing that I wanted to say before I forget is that for me to have overcome what I have, being depressed, suicidal, and homicidal, I had to surrender completely to God. I had to go to therapy. And then after that, I had to alter some lifestyles. I had to do a lifestyle change, basically come away from all irritating foods, different juices with sugar in it, anything with sugar in it, white products, white rice, flours, and all that, meat. And then I took St. John's wort, you know, like maybe one or two as I needed it, basically. And I know that there's a lot of talk about not using St. John's wort, but I have used St. John's wort pretty much all of my adult life with no side effects.
Okay.
Basically, when I needed it. There's times where I've taken like four of them, like for really bad pain that I had. And when I didn't need it, didn't take it, nothing afterwards.
Okay. Lauren, let me just interject for a moment. I just want to make sure, because people have different, you know, effects and responses. I want to make sure we're not endorsing any product. So, I mean, if it works for you, great. I really want to get to the heart of the discussion, if you don't mind.
I think
what you're saying, I mean, it sounds like you have a lot to say.
And
I really want to hear, I mean, I think altering and changing your lifestyle, having some, you know, homeopathic, you know, solutions, those things are great. But let's go back to the part you say you were suicidal and even homicidal. I mean, what happened?
Well, I had married a guy that God told me not to. My mother told me not to, and even my pastor. But this guy was very, very attentive, you know, caring, and he had the money to do for me the things at the time that I want done.
Okay.
So I married him, and as a result, he adversely affected my life. With violence, verbal abuse, physical abuse, and he also molested our daughter.
Oh, wow.
And as a result of it, I was mad at God. And I couldn't, you know, at first I tried to be everywhere that my children did because I felt like I couldn't pray anymore to get God to protect my child, my children, because, you know, God allowed this to happen. And, you know, I had been a Christian for a really long time, and in my mind I'm thinking, this is not supposed to happen to Christians. You know, that right there, I know today, the same thing that happens to the world happens to Christians. God would not be a fair God if he didn't allow that. But however, I found myself surrendering to God. I mean, I was exhausted trying to be everywhere that my children were. And as a result, like I said, you know, like I said, he adversely affected my life, you know, the way he did. And then my own, the fact that I was sexually abused, that surfaced it. And then my son had a really bad accident where a child died as a result of my child driving, you know, in this accident. So I was just completely overwhelmed. Didn't have my church family. A lot of people didn't understand what I was going through. So, you know, I had to withdraw, and all I had was God. And like I said, as a result, I completely surrendered to him. And then I had to change some thought patterns, you know, that God is for me. God is not going to, you know, he gives people free will, you know. Sure. I felt that things was my fault. I didn't endorse, you know, what had happened to our family as far as of saying, okay, it's okay to molest our daughter. I never did that.
No, of course, of course.
So, you know, I had to forgive myself because I was blaming myself. I just wanted to die. I wanted to kill somebody. It was terrible. It was just really terrible, terrible, terrible depression. You know,
let me ask you, Lauren. I'm not trying to downplay this in any way. For the sake of time, you know, because we have a limited amount of time. So you've made some obvious mistakes. You admittedly did some things that you knew God and people that love you and care about you told you not to do, like marry this man. There were consequences, and then you became, you know, you felt guilty. You blamed God. You became depressed, suicidal, homicidal. At what point did it come to, I guess, to clarity or to a point to say, listen, this is wrong. I'm going down the wrong path. I need change.
I used to go to bed at night, and you know how you switch positions? I would change positions, and the devil would show me, panoramic views of my child being molested. And I said, one night I just said, okay, I didn't have a choice about everything that has happened. But I'm going to tell you something right now, devil. You won't have my mind. You will not have my mind. And I think it was at that point, I mean, God was the only place I could go to. Who's stronger than the devil? You know, so it was at that point where things started to turn around positively for me. It was very hard for me to go on. I mean, I have gone further to, you know, help be there for other people and to go to school, and I'm in school right now working on a doctorate, and initially my counselor was saying, if you do these things, you create a path for your family to go down a positive path. And this is one of the reasons why I've called, because I feel that my story could give somebody else encouragement to go down this positive path, because I felt like, you know, in me bettering myself, I was leaving my children behind, who my decision had adversely affected.
Sure.
But, you know, like my counselor was saying, you move out and you go forward and you leave in footprints for your children to follow, you know? So, and I was always that kind of person wanting to be a good example, you know, for people and especially my children, you know? So the only way I could do it was to surrender to God, get rid of all the negative thoughts, different ways of life. And it was a struggle. It was a struggle.
That's amazing. Thank you for sharing that with us. I really do appreciate, Lauren. I think we're all so encouraged and really intrigued by so much that you have shared. I just want to say thank you so much for sharing that with us. Steve?
Sure.
Absolutely. Thank you, Lauren. Mm-hmm. Steve, what do you think? Because one of the things that comes to mind and that I have mentioned to Lauren is, you know, when it gets so bad, so dark, at what point do you say, I surrender? You know, we know that the biblical answer is, man, when we surrender, you know, when we're weak, then we're strong. And it sounded like that there was a moment there where she said, listen, I'm just tired of the devil playing with my mind, and I'm going to seek out for help. And you know, obviously from her story, we know that she got really radical and she really got, you know, decided not to live in that guilt anymore.
Right. And that's what, as a therapist, that's what I would look for, is when someone makes that full commitment to change, when there's some point, no matter what struggle you're going through, someone is just sick of what they're going through, or sick of being kind of beat down by the same thing, and you just make some kind of full commitment. And I think a lot of the change from that point forward can happen when there is that full commitment. And she talked a lot about the struggle. I mean, it was so true, and that you have to go through that struggle, and I hope the people around her can help her through
that.
And I'm glad she reached some point where she's inspired now to tell her story. And
Absolutely.
She takes like a multi-dimensional approach to her own treatment. She takes the St. John Ward thing. There's the cognitive level of, she said, I had some thoughts I needed to readjust there. You know, she found some, you know, some people to help her. I mean, there's a multifaceted approach.
And that's what I was going to say, right? It wasn't just that, like, pat answer, okay, devil, get behind me. You know, Jesus in Matthew 16, verse 23, he said, "Get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." But I think it starts there, right? We know that Jesus didn't just say it for the sake of saying it. Mm-hmm. And I think that it starts when we say enough is enough, you know, like being sick and tired of being sick and tired and like, I'm going to get help. And something else we were discussing during our commercial break is, and you said as a therapist, you want to get the person, and the goal is for if it's you that are going through it or your loved one, that they get to that point where they say, I know I need healing, and it might not just happen in one moment, but I need to start making whatever it doing whatever it takes to get to that point. And in a lot of cases, it might be, you know, a mixture of things, right? It might be that the therapy, it might be, you know, healing through, you know, relationships, it might be homeopathic, you know, medication, or, you know, just real, you know, scientific medicine as well that would help you to get balance, have a chemical balance. So we're going to have more conversation on this. One of the things we want to do really quickly, if you've not done already, we want to give out the number again so you can give us a call. We also want to invite you to visit our Facebook page. Go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/beyondthevows. Get in on the conversation.
All right. So give us a call at 855-454-5905. Marriage Beyond the Vows continues after this.
The Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praise.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome back. We're in the final segment of today's edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows. We're talking about beyond mental illness. The number to reach us is 855-454-5905. Theodosia, I hope I'm saying your name right, is joining us via line one, calling in from Pennsylvania. Good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning to you.
Good morning. Good morning. Is your name pronounced? Are we pronouncing it correctly? Theodosia?
Theodosia.
Theodosia. Theodosia. All right. Theodosia, we thank you so much. I believe you have a very good question, a very important question for us this morning.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say that I listen to this program every Saturday, and I really love you and for the good work that you're doing. So I want to thank you for
the aspect of it.
Yes, I do have a son who is 25 years old, and he was diagnosed with schizophrenia at 21.
Okay.
I don't know if the diagnosis is right or wrong, because sometimes I have doubts whether they have the correct diagnosis. But then last year, he was 302 because he had stopped taking his medicine, and then he was just 302 2 days ago because he had stopped taking his medicine again.
Wow.
But my thing is, how do you know which medicine is the right medicine? Because I learned that after some time, whatever medicine was working don't work anymore, so then the medicine has to be changed. How do you know? And then how do you know which doctor is the right doctor anyway?
Yeah, okay. No, Theodosia, that's a very good question to ask. We're going to have Steve Fantini, who is a licensed therapist and deals with this very often, answer your question. But if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows. We're talking about beyond mental illness, depression, suicide. These things are real. Right now, we're talking with Theodosia, and in studio, one of our in-studio guests here is Steve Fantini. Steve Fantini is a licensed therapist. So what do you think about her question? Her son obviously was diagnosed with schizophrenia about 4 years ago, it sounds like, and she feels like, you know, how do you know what doctor to go to, if it's the right or wrong medication?
Yeah. I mean, it's good that that's the doctor's job, really. I mean, you'll go to a psychiatrist who really will monitor the medication and how that's going and manage that whole process. You know, I'm not a neuropsychiatrist. I don't know too much about the that area. But I would keep track, Theodosia, of what behaviors you're seeing, what side effects you're seeing, and work with the psychiatrist that your son is going to, and really report those things. Because if there's an adjustment that needs to be made, I think that needs to happen. But, you know, as a therapist, I want to keep track of what those signs are. Is it working? How's he doing? Are there any side effects? You know, is it nauseous? And is he had any plans of hurting himself? You said he was 302 a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, obviously the psychiatrist at that point is going to reevaluate. If you're not happy with the psychiatrist, I mean, a lot of people I speak with do want to change their psychiatrist. You know, and that's okay. I mean, if you need to go out and search for someone else who you're happier with, then
sure.
Yeah, that might be needed. But, you know, hopefully the person you're working with will evaluate what's going on.
And you know, Theodosia, I think what is good, it's okay to question this. You know, I think sometimes, you know, we all have different backgrounds, but sometimes we're taught, okay, don't question, you know, the authority. If that's what the doctor says, it's okay to question. What I don't think is good is to feel like we know best, you know. And what he did, it's a little scary, is when a patient just takes themselves off of the medication and then it gets worse, right? So even if the medication is not working, go back to the doctor and tell them that. Like, the doctor's not going to know that it's not working unless you share what's happening. And a lot of times people stop sharing, and what happens is they feel like they know best. And when you're, you know, you need help, you're the patient, you're not the best person at that moment to make a self-diagnose. You need others. And in this case, you're doing the right thing as a mother who cares for her son and saying, listen, you know, maybe we need a second opinion. Maybe we should go to a different psychiatrist. Something else that Steve Fantini and I were talking about is you also want to make sure at the same time you're seeing the psychiatrist, you're seeing a therapist, so that you get help on both angles. And, you know, in addition to that, I think, you know, talking and dealing with this together is a great solution.
Uh-huh. Okay, that's good. Because the thing is, when he goes to see the doctor, which mm-hmm. he goes, I think, every month,
okay.
I ask him, well, how long do you stay with that doctor? He said, less than 5 minutes.
Yes, because he's seeing a psychiatrist. A psychiatrist is only pretty much going to prescribe. He needs to see a psychologist as well, a therapist.
Oh, okay. So he should be seeing a psychologist, because he needs somebody to talk to versus just going
yes.
in there and getting a prescription.
You know what?
He should go to both.
We should go to both. And you know what we're going to do, Theodosia? If you just hold on 1 second, we have Steve Fantini here, but we also have a good friend, Carissa, who's also a therapist. She's calling in here, and she can help you as well.
Okay.
Good morning, Carissa. Do you hear us?
Hello, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We're having the much, much needed discussion of mental illness, depression, suicide. And on the line, we have Theodosia, who mentioned how her son, obviously, he took himself off of his medication. But we're having the conversation of how sometimes medication is important, but
yeah.
you also should have therapy going along so you can make sure you're getting help. With dealing with your emotions. So what would you share with Theodosia?
Definitely. I definitely agree that the counseling along with the medication management is so important, because in the counseling session, you're talking with the therapist for almost an hour, and you're able to get to the deep-rooted issues that are causing, you know, some of the concerns that maybe your son is having. And so you're able to sort of work through coping strategies and treatment strategies in conjunction with the psychologist or psychiatrist,
mm-hmm.
the medical doctor.
Awesome.
And so, you know, I think that that's really what she could do, and it's
great.
Really effective.
Great.
And the other thing I was going to say, too, is she's calling about her son, and we often get calls about from family members concerned about, you know, their loved one and depression and sometimes suicidal ideation. And so I feel like, you know, the treatment is effective when you do have family involvement, you know, whether it's
absolutely.
The wife or the mother or father.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, Carissa, thank you so much. Theodosia, I hope that helps you to realize that you need to seek out a little bit more and encourage your son to get a little bit more help than just going once a month and getting a prescription from a psychiatrist.
Oh, Okay, I think that's what I'm going to look into. Thank you, Sarah.
You're very welcome. God bless. Thank you so much.
Take care.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows. We're having the much-needed conversation about mental illness, depression, suicide, these issues that are real, whether you're going through it or your loved one. We absolutely want to hear from you. We have an in-studio guest, Steve Fantini, who's a licensed therapist. We also have Carissa Obanajo, who is calling in on the phone. She is also a licensed therapist. Carissa, tell us a little bit more about what you do.
I'm a counselor here in College Park, Maryland. I see mainly adults who have depression, anxiety, stress-related issues. I do couples and marriage counseling as well, and I do workshops and training in the mental health field in addition to all of this.
Well, great, great. Well, Tiffany's going to give out the number one more time. Go ahead and give us a call. Speak to Steve Fantini. Speak to Carissa. Speak to me, Marcos Mercado. We absolutely want to hear from you.
And the number is 855-454-5905. So reach out to us and give us a call. Again, we are in the final segment of today's program. So if you do have a comment or a question, this would be a great time to call us. 855-454-5905.
All right, so we're going to continue on with our phone calls here. We have Markia, who is calling in on line five.
Markia, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. How you doing?
All right.
Y'all probably remember me from last week.
Yes, yes. You mentioned to our producer you had called last week. Yeah, we absolutely remember. And this time you're calling because you've mentioned to our producer that you've been living with depression for the last 13 years.
Yes. I was, and that's part of, you know, also what I was kind of talking about, you know, last week in somewhat way. But I've been living with depression probably more than 13 years. But something happened. My dad passed away August the 31st, coming up, the 31st of this month.
Wow.
So he passed 2001.
Wow.
So I have a mother and siblings also still that is living, and they don't understand me going through that depression stage. I don't think they ever understood. I guess they just thought, oh, well, she just wanted attention or she just wanted to be depressed. That was what I heard from them. But it's okay because, you know what, I had to seek help. The way I had to seek help, somehow I was crying. I was going through something. Even when my dad died, I also went through trauma during the same time that my dad was in the hospital for 6 weeks.
Wow.
I went through trauma where being out in the streets and stuff, in the clubs, things happen. 6 weeks later, read between the lines, something happened to me. So I had to take care of something. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Not necessarily where you said something happened
meaning
to you.
I had a termination.
Okay. Okay, so
I had it done was the day my dad died.
Wow. Now, did you know your father had passed at that moment?
Huh?
Did you know that your father had passed
no,
when you went ahead?
No, this what happened. So after that happened to me, because the first time they said they didn't get it all, so they had to do it again. So once I got out of that place, mm-hmm. I made it my effort to go to the hospital to go see my dad. Once I went to go see my dad, which he couldn't talk, he couldn't do nothing. You know, at that time, that Wednesday, it was like, you know, he not responding, nothing. But that Friday, when I went to go see him, mm-hmm. on the 31st, I was talking to him because I was one of the people that was there all the time with him while everybody worked. And even if my family listen to me on the air right now, they might take it and say, oh, your daughter on the line again. She's mm-hmm. talking about the family. I'm not talking about the family. I'm talking about my situation.
Sure.
Meaning, when my dad, you know, at the time, I went to go see my dad. And when I was talking to him, he squeezed my hand.
Okay.
I'm the baby, and I have older parents. I'm the baby. So me talking to him, and I felt like maybe he was waiting on me.
Markia?
So he squeezed my hand. Mm-hmm. And by that happening, I got home. An hour later, they called and said my dad passed away.
Wow, wow. Now, Markia, I want to address something, and I want to hear from Steve Fantini and Carissa as well. Because what you mentioned, even with the abortion and your father dying and everything you've been going through with your family, guilt has a big part of this, right? When we know some things that we made some bad decisions, we did some, even sin, right? We do things that we're like, right. Oh, we did wrong. So, Carissa and Steve, what do you guys think? Let's go to Carissa first. When someone, there's guilt in kind of involved in all this and people feel guilty, and then in addition to that, they start really going through a depression.
Yes, absolutely. Guilt can be the root of a lot of sad feelings and thoughts, and also in sort of self-destructive actions that we can get ourselves into, because it starts out with feeling guilty about what it is that maybe you did, or sometimes it's what it is that I didn't do. You know, I didn't follow through, or I wasn't there for someone. Mm-hmm. And then your self-esteem gets lower. You start feeling bad about yourself. And so things that maybe you wouldn't choose to do, you might start engaging in because you're feeling guilty. You're feeling low. You're feeling depressed. And so
before my dad passed away, that was the destruction I was going down. But after my dad passed away, the next day my son turned 1 year old. I mean, 4 years old. Don't you know, I wound up in the hospital 2 days later because of the situation I went through. So it felt like that, like it was like a whole bunch of like stuff that came off my shoulders.
I we hear you. Now, Marquia, one thing I want to make sure. And I wish we had like a lot more time. Obviously, we're very limited of what we can do on the air, and we want to give other people an opportunity. But I want you to hear.
I do go to therapy. I see a psychiatrist.
No. I hear you. That's great. Well, I'm glad to hear this.
Since then, that's why I had to seek help. And then today, some family members say, "Oh, you need to get off that medicine. It's making you crazy. Oh, you're not the same person." But you know what? I'm not changing for nobody. I got to do this for my family, for my kids. That's why I continue to make sure I have to take care of myself.
Amen.
Well, I'm glad you recognize that, and that there's an anniversary of your dad's passing coming up, and that's very important to keep in mind when those anniversaries come up, because, you know, with that, and then, like you said, you recognize some risky behaviors.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You saw the signs, and it's important for you to see signs and as well for others maybe to help you point in the right direction.
Amen.
And that's why I had to change my life. I had to. The people, the things, all kinds of things I had to change. The first 5 years was so hard.
And Marquia,
I feel like I'm in a better place.
And you know what? And we hear that. And I'm so grateful that you're sharing this and you're on the other side and you can encourage others, you know, to go through this. But please take to heart what Steve Fantini just said. It's, you know, there's an anniversary coming up. There could be potential triggers. Make sure you continue to get the help. And we thank you. We thank you very much for picking up the phone and calling us again.
That's right. Even though I talked to my husband about it, I said, you know, this is the mom. And I can just feel like something coming on. And it's like, after I was on air last week, it was a big fire, you know, backfire about me being on the air talking about the family.
Sure. And Marquia, we can't keep going on this. I'm sorry. I'm really, really sorry that we're going to have to cut you.
I know.
All right. But we love you much. Thank you so much for your call. We really do appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Have a blessed day. You know, before we continue on with our next caller, I do want to address something. And Steve, you mentioned that, right? There are some triggers there. The anniversary, you caught that, right? You said, oh, wow, you know, even though this happened, 2001, she said, you know, that date was very important, right? It's almost like it happened yesterday, the way she shared it. And so can you share a little bit more about that? Like, what are some things that we should be mindful of, perhaps if someone is going through a depression or some signs, you know, warning signs that we should be aware of? I mean, you were able to catch that one, but what are some things that, whether for ourselves or for loved ones, that we should really be careful and say, hey, this is something to watch for?
I think it's important to look for any like traumatic event that happens in someone's life, because that could be a trigger. I've talked to people, well, the anniversary, the death of a relative, that's a big one. But I talked to people who it's an anniversary of maybe a car accident or maybe other kind of life events, loss of a job. And combine that with a history of depression, and these events do work hand in hand. It's the clinical depression, and it could trigger this kind of depressive episode where you just start to spiral, you know, downward, and you fight that mental battle, the cognitive battle. But I'm glad that she sought help and recognized those signs.
Yeah, and Carissa, I mean, it sounds like she had so much to share, right? I'm sure you get this. sometimes when people have a lot to share. And that's probably why it's so important that people do get therapy and they have a support system around them, especially when she mentioned her family wasn't the best support. And so it sounds like she really needs to kind of compensate for that and have people that will listen to her. Carissa, are you still there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you now.
Okay,
so,
great.
What do you think? I mean, with everything she was sharing.
Right, absolutely. I do applaud her for recognizing those signs that, okay, things were maybe not going the way that she wanted them to, and really seeking out the counseling and the therapy. And the thing I appreciate about what she said is that she's not going to listen to people who said to get off the medication, it's making you crazy, but she realizes how much it's helping her. And I think the counseling process and the repetition of the sessions, because typically people meet once every week, they can really work on identifying those who, oh, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, we didn't say anything, we're listening.
Those who are like not as helpful in our social settings, and those who trying to identify a new support system who can be encouraging to us and uplifting us. And, you know, so the therapy process helps with that as well, like identifying maybe new friends and making sure that she has a support system that help her get through all that she has gone through. And so, you know, I really admire her stepping out and then speaking about it on the show today.
Absolutely. And you know what we're going to do in just a moment? Our next caller, Terry, who's calling in from Philly, we're going to go to them in just a moment. They're going to kind of bring up a topic we mentioned earlier and really, you know, depression, mental illness, and the church. Like how much of this should be talked about, the fact that sometimes it's not even mentioned in the church. Is there a place, you know, in the pulpit for us, you know, preachers to be mentioning about this? So we're going to talk more about that. But I do want to just take a quick side note and really for people to take this to heart. Because we were mentioning earlier how guilt plays a big part. And I just want to share one thing about the difference between shame and guilt. Shame says I'm wrong. Guilt says I did something wrong. And so you want to make sure guilt, it's okay to be guilty and you can repent and you can be forgiven. But when you have shame and you walk around with shame, you know, sometimes there's a deeper issue there. You just feel like, you know, the whole weight of the world is on your shoulders. And there's a difference. So, you know, Steve and both Carissa, I want to hear what you guys think about that. And helping people, perhaps there's some things you can share with them if there are signs that this is more than just, hey, I'm going through a little rough patch here. This is, I need to get some help. So what are some signs that we would say, we'll start with you, Steve, that if someone is either themselves or a loved one is encountering, going through, that they should say, hey, I need to take the next step. I need to go get some professional help.
Yeah, I mean, you can recognize with people with depression and how they struggle with guilt. It's good to recognize that because there's a lot of guilt that comes with some people I've worked with are just guilty that they have the illness in the first place.
So they feel bad.
They put other people through a hard time having to take care of them. It's all this, and again, it's that spiral
and
downward.
Is that when it becomes dangerous when someone feel like maybe I'm better off just dying, taking my life because I'm such a burden to others?
It could lead to that, yeah, for sure. And you definitely want to assess for that risk.
So what are some signs that, you know, that someone should look for? Like, how do you know, okay, I'm not just going through the sadness. Like, I really need to take this a little bit more seriously for myself or for a loved one. Like, how do I know that this is something that should alarm me?
Well, I think I was saying earlier, I look for patterns and I tell other people who want to help loved ones with depression or who seem maybe they have it to look for the signs and patterns. Like there's signs that me as a clinician and other clinicians, there's ways to diagnose it, things we look for, like the intensity of how intense it is,
sure,
the duration of it, and the frequency. But the regular signs that anybody can look for, maybe someone seems lethargic. You know, maybe they just have apathy or general loss of pleasure, and you analyze and you look at the statements they make as well, and you see these kind of patterns, this kind of hopelessness. A lot of people are down on themselves, like they attribute, you know, it's their own fault for a lot of things that happen. So they think everything is their fault.
So they
you look at those patterns, and sometimes even when the facts in the world don't support what they say, they'll argue against the facts just to continue to take blame and to do things. And they're just, it's really like someone that is hopeless and you're trying to urge them out of, you know, get them unstuck, but they refuse to be unstuck.
Sure.
And that's how it's, that's what it's like working with someone like
wow.
that.
Wow. And Carissa, what do you think? What are some signs that we should be mindful of?
Definitely. I think if you are noticing that the overwhelming sadness is affecting other areas of your life, like if you notice that maybe you're having difficulty in your marriage because you're sad, you don't feel like talking, you're sort of withdrawing from your spouse or whoever it is that maybe you're dating, if you're noticing that it's impacting your level of being able to focus and concentrate in your work environment, maybe you're getting in trouble at work because you're not producing the way that you normally would produce, maybe, and I see that too, where I have people come in and they're referred to their employee assistance program and they're referred to see me by their employer because they are not performing well at work. Mm. And we realize that the underlying issue is that they're depressed. And so
sure.
once we treat depression, it increases their, you know, ability to focus at work.
Absolutely. And that's actually what Steve Fantini specializes in. He does.
Oh,
that's what he does. Now, from my end too, as a minister, as a pastor, what I see too is, you know, if people, like, for some reason just stop having, they start getting disconnected with God. For some reason, they don't have a desire to pray. They don't want to read their Bibles. They don't want to go to church. And I'm not talking about someone who never really cared about this. I'm talking about someone that had joy in being involved in church, getting close to God. All of a sudden, they feel this disconnect. I'm like, that's a sign to look for. Another one is when people just stop answering their phones. You know, their friends, their loved ones are trying to reach out to them. And they're, for some reason, they don't really want to respond. And then similar to what Steve said, if someone just, you can't just encourage them. You try to encourage them. Great things are happening. And they seem to not see the good of what's happening. They keep focusing on the negative. To me, these are some signs that something more serious may be taking place. All right, great. Well, let's go. I think we have time for at least one more call we have here.
Yep, so let's go to Terry calling in from Philadelphia. Terry, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. It's my first time calling.
And well, thank you for calling.
I listened to your program today, and it is so ironic that it's a topic that I've been going through last week, ironically.
Okay, well, thank you. I mean, maybe that's very timely. God is working.
Yes, he's working all the time. Basically, I was going to call regarding the church and depression.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up, give you a quick background. I grew up a survivor of incest from the age of 4 to 16.
Wow.
Two rapes and physical abuse, both ends. And through that, from me going right now, 46 years old, through therapy and stuff the last 6 years, mm-hmm. I realized that I blocked all that out.
Wow.
I guess that was God's way of protecting me and be able to keep on moving forward. And I was medicating myself with alcohol.
Okay.
What I'm trying to say is I went to the church regarding my background, what was going on, asking for help and everything like that. I grew up in an environment where it was Roman Catholic, but my relatives were mostly Baptist preachers and stuff like that.
Okay.
And I wasn't getting the help, and I was getting punished for speaking out. I just want to say what pastors can basically do. One of the calls I listened to was a gentleman who was saying this. Let's go back to the old ways. This is just something new that happened 20 years ago. It's happening now because people have got the resources mm-hmm. to get the help they need. Children or people that's gone through what I went through are speaking out. When I spoke out, it wasn't that help. It was what happens in his house stays in the house. Don't say anything. But through all that, because I was exposed to different type of doctrines,
mm-hmm.
I've developed a personal relationship with God.
Okay.
I never said, God, why is this happening to me? Why are you letting this happen to me? I was able to realize it was the person. It has nothing to do with God.
So Terry, let me ask you a question. What, in your opinion, what would be most helpful when everything you've been through, if the pastor, the preacher would have done or said that would have helped at that time?
I was so mad at the church,
mm-hmm.
so angry, because why wasn't you helping me? Why wasn't you helping my brothers and sisters? But I had to go back to that time. There wasn't where as though you could go to the police and something would be done, that we could have, the kids could have been removed out of here.
Terry, I hear what they didn't do, but I'm saying what would have helped, like knowing what you know now, what you think that should have been done that would have helped you?
I think they should have counseled my parents more.
Okay. So really deal with it more. Instead of just, like, you know, just pushing it to the side, really making taking a genuine interest in what was taking place.
Exactly.
Wow.
But me at 46 now, I see that change in the church. Okay. I see where as though you can go to your pastor or your preacher and you can talk about it and something can be done.
I hear what you're saying.
Because you have society being more aware. It's not that stigma anymore of what happens in the house stays in the house.
I hear you. I hear you.
People has a resource for it. And I want to also comment on the other caller previously, Miss Carol.
Mm-hmm.
That letter, and she probably don't even realize, saved so many lives.
Oh, yes.
Because it put me back to the place I was at, what I was going through. I didn't realize what I was going to till I was 25. They thought it was postpartum depression. It's just like, I mean, it may have been, but it woken everything up that happened to me.
Yeah.
Because I blacked it out just to keep going on and going on. Mm-hmm. And also, I want to comment.
Terry, we actually have run out of time.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I just want to say, but thank you. You brought in some very interesting conversation. And I think what you said, that, you know, more and more the church is becoming more supportive and understanding, where maybe back in the days, you know, they just a lot of times didn't know what to do. There's more of an awareness, which is healthy and helpful. So, Terry, we thank you. Thank you for bringing that up.
Thank you.
You have a blessed day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Well, we just have a few minutes left. Carissa and Steve, I want to say thank you both for being on the show. Really quickly, any last words, any encouragement, and also how can folks contact you, get to know more about what you're doing?
For me, I mean, my last comment is it's so important what the last caller talked about. She raised so many great points. The church, I hope, can be a safe place to talk about the deepest and darkest issues you're having.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's not, really. And that's the reality. In the past, it had a reputation for not being able to discuss those things. And she even said she tried to talk about it and was kind of looked down on for that. But I hope what she's saying is true, that we can talk about these things. And listening to someone talk through and having empathy for what they're going through in a kind of a non-judgmental way is probably the best place to start. And that's where the church and the leadership in the church can really help out. Because you have to feel like you can talk openly about these things.
And I'll be honest. I think at some point you got to realize, if you're going somewhere and you're not getting the help, you know, the Bible says knocking, the door will be open. So keep knocking, right? Keep going to other doors and say, hey, I'm going after it. I need this help. Don't just feel like, all right, I knocked and no one opened the door. No one tried to help me. But I do believe, Steve, that this is true, that more and more awareness is helping more ministers, more churches to realize, wait a minute, this is something we really need to deal with and talk about more in the church, not just something that stays with the families in the house, but that we talk about it openly. So, Steve, how can folks stay in contact with you, find out more about what you're doing?
You can reach out to me I have a Twitter account, which I'm using a little more. I'm going to put out a self-help book in the next few months.
Okay.
And I'll be updating on that. It's at Steve Fantini is my Twitter handle. Or just email me at stevefantini@gmail.com.
And you could always go to praisephilly.com. We'll have that information there as well. praisephilly.com, and you can find out more about following Steve Fantini on Twitter and more about his upcoming book and everything else. And Carissa, thank you so much. Any last words, and how can folks find out more about what you're doing and get in contact with you if necessary?
Yes, thank you so much. And I think the last caller as well. And the one thing that I would share for those who are church leaders and pastors and small group leaders, just taking time to educate yourself about mental health. I know as a practitioner, I'm more than happy to talk with people about what should you do, what are the signs you should look for, you know, and encouraging workshops and events at church where mental health is talked about openly, because I think that's a main place that people go to, and people trust their pastors, they trust their leaders. And so, you know, understanding the power that you have to really affect people's lives. And then the other thing I wanted to share about it, just in light of what happened with Robin Williams, which really, you know, hurt everyone, I think, who heard, I think just also utilizing resources that are out there, like the National Suicide Prevention Hotline,
sure,
which is an important resource. That number is 1-800-273-TALK. and anyone can call. It's confidential. And I've had my clients use it, and it has really been helpful. They talk through issues and concerns that just get them to the next session.
And give out that number one more time, if you don't mind, Carissa, just in case folks missed it.
Sure. It's 1-800-273-TALK. T-A-L-K.
And this is someone that they may be going through issues, and they can call and someone will speak to them and help them walk through what they may need?
Yes, absolutely. And then the other thing that people may not know about is that each county has a, or most counties, I should say, has a crisis center and a mobile crisis unit. So I had a wife call me recently about her husband, and she was very concerned about him and his suicidality, him thinking about hurting himself. And so I was out of town, so we were able to engage the crisis center and the mobile crisis team, and thankfully the person's okay now. But,
amen,
you know, just letting people know about that, and they can look through their state or county government websites to find information about the mobile crisis units and the crisis centers that are out there, because I think that that's a good resource as well.
And Carissa, let me add also, if someone, it's like, contemplating suicide, it's an emergency, you could always dial 911. That is an emergency. There are some things that are not, but if someone is talking about taking their life, or if you're listening and you feel like doing this, talking about it with other people, all that is great, but sometimes there's a time to either call 911 or go to the emergency room. And something that Steve had mentioned earlier, you also want to make sure the family is aware when something's going on. So, Carissa, how can folks find out more about what you're doing?
Yes, people can go to our website. My colleagues and I are putting on a marriage conference, a Renew and Revitalize Christian Marriage Conference. And so they can go to my website, and our website, and my information is there. It's www.renewandrevitalize.com.
Okay.
Great.
Well, thank you very much. Again, you can find Carissa's information, Steve Fantini's information on our website, praisephilly.com. And we want to say thank you so much. Also, make sure you follow us on Facebook and Twitter throughout the week at Beyond the Vows.
And also, as Carissa mentioned, the mobile crisis number, if you are in the Philadelphia area, the mobile crisis number is 215-685-6440. If you are in the area, that is that mobile crisis number.
All right, awesome,
here
awesome.
For Philadelphia. Thank you all so much for checking us out. Much love to our producer, Larry. Thank you for all that you do. Have a peaceful, positive, and productive week, and we will see you next time.
God bless.
Thank you.